Good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Hope you're having a great morning. It's a great day to worship the Lord. It's a beautiful day today, and it's just good to be around family this morning. And so I'm really excited about today. We're going to talk about, I just think, a really good, cool subject is peace and the Prince of Peace. And so I need to warn you of something, though, because last night at my house, there were two people at my house that they will go nameless. Right, Devante? Oh, no. They were watching Frozen last night. And so I'm in the other room hearing all this, you know, let it go, let it go. And so if during my sermon today I start singing, you know, doing it with the tunes from Frozen, it's their fault. But I'm really excited just about prayer this week. I have my prayer list, and I want to just remind you, if anybody in the room here wants me to pray for anything, please come and talk to me. This week I've already had two things that I've been praying for that were very specific on the prayer list that have come, that happened. Marge had something on her prayer list that happened. And so, not that we're special, but it's just that I'm praying for everybody every day. And so if you have something, please come and talk to me, because I really want to pray for you and really want to just bring it to God to work whatever you got going on in your life. So, but let's go ahead and let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll get going. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much that we can come together. Thank you for the family that we have here. Thank you, God. We take it for granted, God, when we come into church, that we have our true brothers and sisters in Christ in this room. And Father, that is something so special, God. And so we're just so grateful for that. And God, we're so grateful for you, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. Father, that you are the only one that can really give us the true peace in our lives that all of us really desire. And God, we're just so grateful. Thank you so much for the welcome and the communion that both talked about peace, and I don't even know how they knew, but God, we just know that you want us to know about peace today. And Father, we love you so much. Just ask that your Spirit would really lead us and guide us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so today we are talking about the Prince of Peace, and we're talking about peace. And so a lot of the sermons I'll preach, you know, every so often I'll have something that I really thought about for a long time. And then other times I'm going through things in my life where I just really want to learn and grow. And so I'll teach those things. And so this has been one of those weeks, or just a couple days this week, where there is just a lot going on. And I'm feeling like, you know, just where's the peace that I need? Where's the peace? And I don't know if you've ever had days like that. Can anybody ever relate to that? Where you just have a day where you got lots happening. Doesn't mean it's all bad. It just means there's lots going on. And you got a busy schedule. And then things come that you're not expecting. And, you know, this week we were working out. By the way, the interns were supposed to be here this morning, our summer interns. They got a flat tire last night. So they're going to be here either tonight or tomorrow. But even working out all their housing, I had one place, you know, in stone. And then they called back and it's not going to happen, and you know, just all those kind of little things. And then it got to one of my biggest things in life that I hate is my computer. I have a love-hate relationship with my computer, and so sometimes I really love my computer, you know, it's just, it does everything I need it to do. And then other times when I got something important that needs to get done, somehow, some way, my computer just knows the right times to freeze up on me. And that's one of my biggest things in life that really give me a lack of peace, is when my computer starts freezing on me and when I got something really important to get done. And so that was just one of those days. And I just, you know, I just got off my computer why is this going on right now? And I just felt in my heart this lack of peace. And so that's where I really drove me to start thinking about what gives us the true peace in our life. What really gives us peace? And really we're going to see today that it's Jesus that give us peace. And, you know, let's be real. I mean, all of us, you know, life is full of things, right? Life, we have burdens. We have different things that come our way in our life that make life sometimes a little bit difficult, right? And so, you know, you may feel like this. These are Sherpas, and these are the guys that help the guys climbing Mount Everest. And if you ever read about these guys, they're amazing. They're these usually little guys that are carrying these big backpacks full of stuff. You just go, how do they even get that up the hill at those altitudes? But sometimes we can feel like this maybe in our daily life, walking around carrying this load. You know, other times, you know, sometimes it's just too much for us. The weight is too much in life. And we feel like that donkey there, like the weight has just won. You know, the burdens and the things that got us going, they just beat me. And, you know, I don't know how he got like that, but I imagine he's not feeling too encouraged right about now. You know, or maybe you just feel like, you know, I just want to give up. You know, because there's so much going on and I just don't have this peace right now. And sometimes we might feel like that. And, you know, it says here on, you know, from fear and grief and just things going on in our life. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. It's really, where do we get the peace that all of us need? And so let's turn your Bibles over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. And I think this is an important subject because it's not like all of you today, I'm saying all of you guys don't have peace. But I think there's times when we don't know when that time's going to come up where we really need to go and we need to go after something that's going to really give us true peace. And so Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." And so here we see Jesus. This was the prophecy of Jesus. And one of the names they said that this child is going to be, that this one that's going to be born, is going to be the name of Prince of Peace. And then it goes on to talk about how his peace, there's so much peace in Jesus, that his peace will never end. It's unlimited. And when we think about Jesus, We have the ability to go to the source of unlimited peace because that's who Jesus is. He is the Prince of Peace, and we get the opportunity to tap into that, to get that peace from him. And so when I think about peace, I'm going to talk about two things today. One of the things I talk about, or I think about when I think of peace, is I think of rest. And you think of rest is really when, like, you're just in life, when you just feel the security, you feel like God's taking care of you, you feel that genuine peace, and everything just seems so peaceful because you're at rest in your heart. The other thing we're going to talk about today is reconciliation. And that's really peace in relationships. And so let's talk about the first one. We're going to talk about rest. And we all like rest areas. We had a lot of these on our way driving to Auburn this year. You know, you have a lot of those things. And we got out and had to get, you know, truck used a lot of those, our dog. And so we need rest. And so turn your Bibles over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Says here, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, have you ever felt weary or have you ever felt burdened? I think all of us can relate in some way to that. And again, that may not be your day today, but at some points in life, we get to that where we just feel like we're just kind of weary and we're a little bit burdened and just kind of, we're beat down maybe by the world around us. We get beat down by our sin. You know, we get beat down by just having to pay the bills and, you know, having to do all the obligations that we have in life. And, you know, some of you may not feel that, but I bet you in this room that some of you today, we feel that, right? Mm-hmm. We feel that we maybe can be a little bit weary and a little bit burdened. And so Jesus here, really, he's saying, you know, we have an opportunity to get our rest from Jesus. He's the one. He says, come to me. I will give you rest. Take upon me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We get the opportunity to take the yoke of Jesus. And, you know, we turn to so many different things in life for our peace, don't we? You know, when you look at the world and we look at, you know, even our life, and we all have a temptation. I know I'm tempted. When I get burdened, one of the things I like to do is I just kind of like to turn the music on and just kind of drown my, you know, so I don't think about anything. I don't have to think about what's going on. You know, you may have a different thing. A lot of people in this world, they try to go to things like drugs or alcohol because they're feeling something and they feel like they need something in their life to make them feel better. They're searching for that peace. But the problem is that peace never comes through that. Some of us, we look for our peace through relationships. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that are single. They say, well, you know, if only I could be married right now, everything in my life will be better. But the problem with that is that's not where true peace comes from. If that's the place we go for peace, that's a very temporary way of looking for peace. And then married people go, well, man, if only I was like that single person and I didn't have all these responsibilities. Right? So wherever you are in life, we kind of look to somewhere else. You know, to think if I were only there, then I would have this great peace that I need. Other people, they look to entertainment or they look to video games because those things can really drown our mind out. Like we get into those things and we don't have to think about anything. For other people, it's impurity or pornography, you know, because that gives a temporary high, but really it leads to this great big crash. For others, it's laziness. You know, just kind of like, that's maybe more me. Like, I just want to do nothing because that way I want to think about anything. And then for others, we can even use the church and the community that and the family that we have in the church. We can use that as a substitute to get our peace from. And I'm telling you, I love the family. I love the family of God that we have. But if we look for our peace and try to get our peace from people, what will happen is we're going to be let down so much. And really in all these things, all these different things, and whatever it is you go to, whatever your default is other than God, I mean, we all have that because we all came from the world and we battle that to go back to who we were before, now to who is, you know, who we are in Christ. And so whenever we go to the things like that are not of Jesus, what happens is we find ourselves in our peace level, we find ourselves on this roller coaster in our Christian life. So we get, you know, we do something, maybe for you it's you know, video games. And so you're there like, this will just make me feel better. Boop, 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 psh, you know, I won, yay! And then what happens is a couple minutes later, or a little, maybe an hour later, you feel back and reality hits you again. And what happens, it's just like this giant, this lifelong roller coaster that we're on, always searching for the true peace. And really thinking when we're in the midst of that one little thing, for that little bit that we found it, only to find ourselves crashing. Because all of those things are really just temporary forms of peace. And really, when we look at this scripture, what Jesus is doing here, he's saying, he's really giving us an invitation. He's giving us an invitation. He says, you know, for those that are weary, those that are burdened, I'm going to give you the rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We have this open invitation from Jesus that we can get our rest, that we can take on his yoke. And he's going to give us the peace that we need. Now, when you think about a yoke, everybody know what a yoke is? Okay, it's an egg, right? No, that's not what it is. I mean, that is a yoke, but that's not the yoke that we're talking about here. The yoke here is something that goes around your neck, right? And so when you think about a yoke, if you've ever seen a yoke, they're not exactly the most peaceful things to look at, right? They just don't look like peace. You know, because anything, for me, putting a tie around my neck is not peaceful. You know, for me, when I think of what I'm going to wear that's peaceful, I put my shorts on. You know, I don't put the tie on. You know, and so when I think about something that's full of peace, I don't usually think about putting something on my neck and that's going to give me peace. But really, when we think about yokes, here's what a yoke is. Okay, oh, those pictures came out long. They look like 10 feet tall. Okay, so this is one form of a yoke. Okay, these people are carrying a yoke. And really, the yoke is the wood thing going across their neck. And they're able to carry, you know, if you look at this lady, she's, you know, not too young, and she's got all these apples and stuff. She's able because the yoke distributes the weight and allows her to lift something that she would not able to on her own normally to lift. And the same thing with this guy here. He's got water, and these are probably about five gallons on each side. I don't know about you, but if you've ever tried carrying the 2 gallons around, try, sometimes at the grocery store we carry them, you know, to our shopping cart. Try carrying that with you for the day. Just 2 gallons on each, 2.5 gallons on each side of you, and just try and going through that day. It can, you know, you'll be really tired. But because of the yoke, this guy is able to walk and probably far distances with all this water. And water's not light. It's probably 10 gallons total there of water. He's able to do something that normally he would not be able to accomplish. Then the other kind of yoke that we're familiar with is with oxen, right? And so oxen have, the yoke is what goes between them or on their neck. So what it does is it puts both their power together. And so with that yoke on there, they're able, in this case, it looks like they're pulling like cement blocks there. They're pulling a whole bunch of weight that looks like really no animal, no matter how big, could pull that much. And yet they can do it. They can do what normally they can't do because of the yoke. And so Jesus, when he says, "Take my yoke," what he's saying here, he's saying that I'm going to allow you to do in your life, I'm going to give you peace that you could not get anywhere else. I'm going to be the one that's going to hold the water up. I'm going to hold the burdens up in your life. I'm going to be that yoke so that my yoke is light. I'm going to make the things in your life that seem really huge and seem like the things that are going to give you so much stress that when we go to Jesus to take that yoke, what he does is he really makes these things really light. He allows us to carry things in our life that you and I just couldn't carry on our own. Because sometimes the difficult situations come up and we just want to do it in our own power. We want to get through it because I'm the man and I can get through it. But what Jesus is saying, no, I'm going to be the yoke for you. I'm going to carry you through the hard times. I'm going to carry you through the difficult times. I'm going to carry you through the times of stress. And I'm going to allow you to get through this because on your own, you couldn't get through it in the right way. And that is to me, is so awesome that Jesus gives us that rest. Isn't Jesus awesome? Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about Jesus is for a while, and God is. I mean, literally, I was thinking about this. We could go on, we're not going to do this, but we could go on for probably 2 years, every single midweek and Sunday service, we could talk about something about Jesus because he has so many great qualities. Yeah. But when I think about the great qualities that I love the most, this is one of them, is that Jesus, he takes my burdens on, that I can get true peace in my life from him. Nothing else will bring it. No job will bring it. No amount of money will bring it. No person will bring it. Nothing that I can do will give me the peace that Jesus can give me. That's how awesome he is, and that's how much he loves me. He loves us that much, and the idea is he can carry our burdens. We can't carry them without him. I think sometimes we think we can, but we're deceived. And that's when we start getting into these temporary things that just give us the peace for a very short time. Because, you know, all of us, we're going to go through times in our life that are awesome and great and happy and joyful. And we're also going to hit times in our life where we feel burdened and we feel stressed. And being a Christian does not mean that everything in your life is going to be perfect. It really doesn't. I think sometimes we misinterpret that and we think, well, because I'm a Christian now, everything is supposed to go great. In fact, I know people that have even left God that have said, you know, because my life wasn't that awesome, there are things still happening and going wrong in my life. That's the reason why I left God. And I'm thinking about that. I'm like, where did you ever get that promise that everything in your life was going to be perfect? Because we looked last week, most of the people in the first century that we read about in the Bible, they died for their faith. So where can we possibly get that everything in my life is going to go perfectly now because I'm a Christian? But I think what's more important than whether our life goes bad or good is really the thing that God, He gives us the ability to get our peace through Him. It's how we deal with the situation. Sometimes we're waiting for this great miracle to happen. We're saying, you know, that's how I believe in God, because He's going to give me all these miracles. But you know what? The greatest miracle is Jesus. And sometimes we forget that, looking for how good life is going to be. We start thinking about those things and we forget really the greatest miracle that all of us really have already. And that's that we have a relationship with Jesus, and He's the one that's going to carry us through the hard and difficult times in our life. You know, some of you guys had just an experience here lately to really test your peace in your life, right? Those of you in school going through finals. And I know that's a very stressful time. I remember going through the finals, and I'm not the brightest student. I never was. I had some learning disabilities. And every time the finals came up, it was like stress time. And it really challenged me in my relationship with God, because it was during those times that I really had to go after God and really find my peace from Him, because He's the only one that's going to bring us security. Philippians 4, in verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, this is the invitation that Jesus is giving us, that if we take His yoke and we put everything in Him, it says, put through prayer and petition, it says, you know, we can present this to God and He's going to give us His peace. And what that's going to do is going to guard our hearts and our minds. His peace will guard our hearts and it's going to guard our minds. And that's amazing. And I want to ask you this today. When you think about peace in your life, what's the first thing when times are a little bit difficult, when times are a little bit stressful, what's the first thing that you do? What's your default to get the peace that you need? Is it to go to those other things? Or is your first thing to go to God and really ask God to give you the peace that you're so needing? I know for me, this is something I always got to work on. That my default, I'll try to do these other things, but at the end of the day, the thing I always find out is that it's prayer and it's God that always brings me the peace that I need. And so He's going to give us the rest that we need in our life. The next thing is relationships, and it's reconciliation. It's really having peace in our relationships. You know, Jesus not only will bring us individual peace in our lives, but He's going to bring us peace collectively in our relationships. And so we're going to look over in Ephesians here. Oh, that came out really small. Okay. But we're going to look at a scripture here where Paul is speaking to the Gentiles in Ephesus. And so what was happening here was the Jews really learned all their life. They were taught all their life really not to associate with the Gentiles. And we can go into a lot of different things, but mainly that was the gist of it. And so what was happening, the churches here were growing, and there were a lot of Gentiles in the church, and there were also Jewish people. And the Gentiles were kind of like, wow, we don't really feel a part of things, because even though there's a lot of us here, we don't feel like we're getting along with those, the Jewish people. And so this was told by Paul to the church here. It says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, called uncircumcised by those who call themselves circumcised, the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at one time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And so really what Paul was saying, he was calling the Gentiles here to remember where they came from. Remember where they came from, and to remember Jesus, who allows them to have to be part of the kingdom, that they now get to participate in the promise that Jesus gave them to be part of this kingdom.
I lost my place, but
because there is really no difference. What was happening was because, you know, the Jews thought about themselves like, we can't associate. The Gentiles were feeling like, well, maybe we're not as good because nobody talks to them. And what Jesus was saying, but because of the cross, now the two of you can be one. The two of you can finally get together and unite. In fact, he goes on in the scripture and he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And so now he's telling these Gentiles, he's saying, you know, you're no longer a foreigner or an alien. You no longer have to be separate from these from the Jewish people. Now you are now so much the same that you're fellow citizens with them. And I've read this scripture over and over since I've been a Christian, but I really never thought of, you know, in context, what this is really meaning. It's talking about the fusion of these two different groups, that now, because with all their differences, because of Jesus, they could now become one. And really, that's what Jesus can do in our relationships. If we have issues with somebody, God can put you together with them and really bring peace in that relationship. You know, and really, we all need that. And even in the church, sometimes we think, well, nobody in the church is ever going to make me mad, and there's never going to be any separations in my relationship. Okay? But the problem is, all of us sin. And so there's going to be times when we feel separate from each other. Yeah. And that's when we really need to go back to Christ and understand that only Christ, that through Christ, we have the ability to mend those relationships, mm-hmm. and put them in a place where they need to be. God wants to bring peace in our relationships. He wants us to associate with people that are different from us. You know, and I think that, you know, church overall has become more like this. It really has become more the most segregated days of the week, where you've got different races having their church service, and there's no mix. And really, when I think about what Paul's saying here, he's saying the Jews will get together with the Gentiles and they'll all be one. When I think about church, when I look at the Bible, this is the way the church should look. The church should look like that, right?
Amen.
We got one Asian in there just to show you the Asians belong. But that's the way the church should look. There should be no divisions in this church. We should be a church that really gets our peace from Jesus, and that together we can have relationships that will shine so much greater than those the relationships we see in the world. Because, not because of how great we are, because all of us are a mess, but really because of how great Jesus is. We can have those relationships. And isn't it awesome that really, because when we're at the foot of the cross and we're looking at Jesus in our life, at the foot of the cross, there is no segregation. At the foot of the cross, there is no differences in socioeconomic status. You know, when we look around this room, all of us in Christ are exactly equal. We're exactly equal. Not one of us is better than the other. And so when we talk to each other, it doesn't matter how much money you got or what nationality you are, we can get together as true brothers and sisters in Christ. And really, that's the peace that only can come from Jesus. That's the peace we can only get from Him. And so today, as we think about this lesson, I really want to ask you, are you willing to take the invitation to take the yoke of Jesus? To get your rest truly from Him? To get your rest in everything, whether it's stress, whether it's just the burdens of life, whether it's relationships that are just not going exactly the way that you want them. Really, the answer is Jesus. And with Him, He's the only one that can give us true peace in our life. And really, all the things I was stressed about the other day and all the things that were going on, the answer was this. I went out for a prayer walk. I came back from the prayer walk and it was like, I feel so much peace now. I feel peace now because it's not about me. I gave those things all to God. And let's be a church that really gets our peace, not from things and not from people, but let's get our peace from the only one that can truly give us everlasting peace, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.